All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by Charles McDonald of the Setting the Edge podcast, the Falcoholic, Football Outsiders, and more. And we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to do a mid-season recap of the Falcons and maybe look a little bit ahead to the rest of the 2018 season.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys. Today's episode is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at MyBookie.ag for up to 100% deposit bonus. Today, we're also going to be giving away a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. I will give you the details at the end of the show for that. So welcome back, Charles. It's been a long while since that week one Bears win when the season was all full of optimism and hope.
Yeah, it's been a long season too.
Yeah. So let's jump into it and sort of let's talk about what has occurred for the Falcons since then. Give your thoughts on maybe some of the positives that you've seen from this team so far through eight games and of course, some of the negatives because this is my podcast, so we will definitely talk about those things.
So should we start off with the positives?
Yes, let's do that.
All right. I've been really, really pleased with the play of Devondre Campbell, Keanu Neal, and Grady Jarrett. I think they've really taken a step so far this season, especially Keanu and Grady. And you know, they look like what we thought they could be, I guess, as we kind of watched them grow over the first couple of games or first couple seasons. And it's just kind of cool to see them blossom into, you know, I guess upper echelon NFL players. And that's probably been my favorite part of the season because there aren't too many to pick from right now.
I'm with you on the Grady Jarrett and Keanu Neal, not so much with the Campbell. But, yeah, I have really enjoyed watching two of those three guys play quite a bit this year. And of course, you know, the cornerbacks have been solid as well. I rarely have issues watching this team when it comes to the secondary and usually with Grady Jarrett and of course the incomparable Brooks Reed up front, it's been pretty solid.
I've been pretty pleased with Tack too. I know like his sack total isn't huge, but I was hoping he would get like four sacks for the season. He's on pace to do that. Pretty disruptive in the run game. I think he gets a handful of pressures a game too. So he's been fun to watch too.
Yeah. So I'm imagining since you pointed out some of the positives on the defensive side of the ball, you're gonna focus your negatives more on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Well, I know we talked about this on Twitter, but I think the point that we've brought up before was the split between their first half scoring and their second half scoring. I haven't looked since you posted. I don't remember if that was after the game or before the game, but last time I checked, they were 7th in first half scoring and 28th in second half scoring. And that kind of gives you a snapshot as to what's wrong with this team where, you know, when you're going through the practice week and making your game plan, you have what's called a script, right? And you use that script. It's just you're literally just scripting plays that you're going to call on your first possession, second possession, third possession. But at some point, the script ends. Like for some teams, they have one for their first three drives. Other teams have them for their first two drives. But it's going to end usually before halftime. And that's when defenses start to adjust to what they've seen, to what tendencies you've shown, and if you aren't adjusting back to that or just kind of calling plays all willy-nilly with no real organization behind them, that's kind of where you see the second half scoring output just completely fall off a cliff. Now that they've had some unlucky breaks, like I know Mohamed Sanu dropped that pick Mohamed Sanu and Tevin Coleman dropped those picks in the Detroit game. Austin Hooper had a mistake on the interception in the Panthers game. You know, Julio dropped that touchdown, which is just crazy. That was like we were in the twilight zone for that one. I had no idea what I was watching then. But yeah, it's just kind of frustrating to see, you know, when it's all scripted out, this team clearly has the firepower and talent to score. But when they kind of have to adjust on the fly or adjust after halftime, you're really seeing the offense sputter, which is pretty frustrating when you see how much talent is there.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on some of the things that I saw this being talked about earlier today on Twitter with the whole idea that part of the reason why the team seems to be struggling to make those in-game adjustments is because Sark is up in the booth, and that was a move that the Falcons made after the bye week because Dan Quinn prefers him up there, but because Sark's past experience, he's more comfortable in the sideline. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, if I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but if it's that big a deal, I don't really know the dynamic between him and Sarkisian, but I wouldn't be so opposed to him being back on the sideline because, I mean, it has no effect on me as a fan. So if that's what works best for Sark, and I guess that's probably when the offense had their best games, you know, those first 3 weeks of the season. And, you know, they had a good game versus the Jets, but like the first 3 weeks of the season when they were 3-0, when it kind of looked like maybe this offense would be okay. If he wants to come back on the sideline, that's fine with me. I have no real preference. I just don't know how much stock to put into, you know, all those scoring droughts in the second half solely to he's up in the booth and not on the sideline.
Yeah, that was my sort of takeaway. I'm like, does it really, like, how, you know, like, how is it that that causes you to not be able to make good adjustments midway through the game? But even when they were winning games, it wasn't like they were blowing out teams in the second half anyway. So I don't know. But at this point in time, you got to try something, throw something into the mix to maybe make get things, the ball rolling, I guess. Before we go further, plenty of people always ask me for betting advice. And now that I helped you guys make bank last week with my two favorite picks, this week I like the Bears at -5.5 at home versus the Packers. I also going to ride 2017 Coach of the Year Sean McVay most weeks this year, including this week with the Rams, -11.5 at home versus the Texans. When the Rams have won at home this year, they have won in definitive fashion, and so I'm not scared off by this big line at all, especially with my boy Tommy Savage at the helm in Houston. But regardless of whether you take my advice or you get it from somebody else, the best advice I can give you is where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why I'm telling people to go to mybookie.ag. You can use that promo code LOCKEDON for up to 100% deposit bonus. There are plenty of online sports books out there, but mybookie.ag is the only one that gets my stamp of approval. Mybookie.ag is by far the best sports book I've ever used because it's been in business for years. The reputation is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. They have the fastest payouts. Seriously, 2 business days. You can have your own glitzy Las Vegas casino experience right from your smartphone. Go to mybookie.ag, place your bets. Tell them I sent you by using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. You play, you win, you get paid. I'm curious to get your thoughts on what's going on with sort of the talk that Sark is on the hot seat and sort of the recent report that Gary Kubiak is willing to come out of retirement and, you know, wants to work with the right quarterback, the right team, and be an offensive coordinator in 2018. Is that music to your ears? Are you hopeful that, you know, maybe Kubiak's maneuvering himself to possibly take over for Sarkisian next year?
I think that would be a slam dunk hire just because, like, you know, Kubiak, he used to coach Kyle Shanahan back in Houston. Kubiak was the head coach there and Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for a couple of years. I'm pretty sure he played for Mike Shanahan's Broncos.
Yeah,
I think he was John Elway's backup. So, you know, he knows the system. He got Joe Flacco to have his career year. He got, you know, the defense was really good that season, but they have Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler, and this is not like Peyton Manning. It's Peyton Manning's corpse. Like, they had those guys rotating in and out quarterback, and they were able to win a Super Bowl. Now, they did have an all-time great defense, but that offense did kind of overachieve for the talent that they had. And I just think that you need someone who can maximize what they have right now. You know, it sucks to kind of wish for someone to lose their job, but there's a window on this thing where, you know, we don't know how much longer Julio is going to stay being the alien that he is. Alex Mack is getting up there. You know, it's not like we're in super duper danger mode, but there is a finite amount of time. And I think if you want to get past these humps they're they're struggling with right now, I think you might want to bring in somebody just a little bit more experienced. Now, I don't know if Sark is going to get fired at the end of the season. We've seen that Dan Quinn hasn't had a problem switching up the coaching staff, but those have come after two seasons, not one. So I don't know if Sark's going to be out of here like come January.
Yeah, we'll have to see. And I think a lot of it sort of depends on him getting this offense back on track in the second half. But if we continue to see these 17 and 20 point games where the Falcons are, you know, just throwing three and outs like crazy out there in the third quarter, it's going to be hard for me to understand how Dan Quinn can sort of justify keeping Sark on. So I think there's going to have to be some growth over these next 8 weeks with the offense.
Yeah.
Not necessarily putting up 30 burgers every week, but at least getting 24 to 28 points pretty consistently.
Yeah. And what I think what the biggest issue with, you see people comparing Sarkisian's year to Shanahan's season in 2015. Well, I don't think that's fair because the talent level is just so different from then. You know, you had Tevin Coleman as a rookie, Devontae Freeman in the second year. In 2015, you have Mike Person at center. Was Chris Chester on that team?
Yeah, 2015.
Yeah. So, yeah, you have Mike Person on that team. You had whatever was left of Roddy White. You had Nick Williams getting receiver reps, Leonard Hankinson for a bit getting receiver reps. I just don't think it's comparable when you look at where we are now in terms of talent, in terms of where they are now in 2015. And you had the blueprint last year. So it just doesn't make sense for a team this talented and this explosive to go – it's like several droughts or even quarters or halves without scoring a touchdown. I don't see how you can justify dropping, let's say, I think they're at like 23 or 24 points a game. They're at 33 last year. So how do you justify keeping almost a 10-point drop in points per game if you know that you can score much more than that?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Looking ahead to next year, sort of what are you sort of looking at this roster, thinking the team needs to sort of be the priority if you've seen anything so far through this first half of the season that you feel like the team needs to address in terms of the offseason, whether it's free agency or the draft?
You know, the big ones, obviously, defensive tackle. Grady Jarrett, we talked about him. He's a monster. He's been legitimately one of the best defensive tackles in football this season. So, I mean, that's nice to have. But I don't know if Poe's going to be back. I don't know if Poe really needs to come back. So I think they definitely need a starter next to him. I mean, I think Athaiba Rubin's outplayed him since he's been here like for two games now. So I think they need to get another young guy in there to kind of grow with Grady Jarrett and Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley and all those guys. And I don't know like where else I'm really, really concerned about, but I would like to see them add maybe somebody at guard in case they want to upgrade Wes Schweitzer. They're getting a little afraid about Andy Levitre's age. So I think you still got to stay in the trenches, and maybe you add a third wideout behind Sanu and Julio.
Okay. No fullback love.
I don't really care about the fullback. I'm not, Derek Coleman, yeah, he's not DeMarco, but honestly, I'm not very pressed about that situation.
Okay. All right. Any other thoughts on this season? Maybe, you know, we talk about sort of the in-game adjustments. Is there any other thing that you're looking at for this team that you can feel like if they just do this, they'll start playing better?
If they can just figure out how to stop the run, I mean – I'm really not looking forward to this Cowboys game because, I mean, they're going to get we don't need to sugarcoat. They're going to get absolutely stampeded. I don't think it matters whether Zeke plays or not. They have the 29th ranked run defense according to DVOA right now, and Dallas has the second ranked rushing offense. So I mean, I think that's going to be an absolute beatdown. But they got to figure out a way to stop the run, and I don't really know who to blame it on, because they'll go like drives at a time where they stop the run well, and then they'll bust one up the middle or they'll bust one up the edge. But overall, the end result doesn't end up looking pretty. So I don't know if you want to maybe draft someone to play middle linebackers. You can move Deion Jones to Will because he's been getting bullied sometimes on the inside. But it's just frustrating to see a defense that you know has talent just not be able to get it done against the run.
Okay. Any thoughts on special teams, Charles?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, concise, straight to the point. I don't really have any other questions for you. I think that sets it all up. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I'm so sad that the Saints are good this year. The Saints are what I thought the Falcons were going to be, but the Saints have a better defense than I thought the Falcons were going to have.
Yeah, Cameron Jordan's killing it. Marshawn Lattimore's killing it.
Yep. Sucks.
Yeah. We used to thought, 7-9 Saints, that would be that's a guarantee. That's a lock. But looks like the Falcons might be 7-9 this year, so we'll see.
If they're lucky. They do have a brutal back half of the schedule.
I'm hoping they can sweep Tampa Bay and maybe get one win.
I guess the Panthers.
I don't know. I don't know where else they're going to get the other win, but I'm hoping. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. But Jameis seems to always come alive against the Falcons, so yep. Who knows.
As everyone does.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it goes. Except for Aaron Rodgers.
It's so dumb that that's the only guy that they've consistently had success against since Dan Quinn got here. Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, you let Christian McCaffrey go buck wild, Jameis Winston go buck wild. This team is so stupid.
when Josh McCown plays better against the Falcons than Aaron Rodgers, something's wrong.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Charles, I appreciate it. Let the people know all the 28 places where they can find your stuff.
You can find stuff at the Falcoholic when I feel like it. Sometimes I go on Falcoholic Live. You can find stuff on Setting the Edge. We've been pumping out actually a pretty decent amount of content on that one. But we're going to have our week 10 picks coming up this, I think, tomorrow. This is Wednesday, so on Thursday. And then next week we're interviewing Dominique Foxworth from ESPN, which is going to be fun. And be on the lookout for my article breaking down the Jets offense for Football Outsiders. It's going to be up on Thursday.
Okay. Ask Dominique Foxworth why he left Atlanta.
I will.
That man was greatness. What was that, 08?
Yeah, something like that. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was before, it was like pre-Brent Grimes greatness. Okay, yeah. So, all right, man. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me on.
All right, man, I'll be talking to you later. I'm sure we'll be complaining about the Falcons the rest of the season.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Have a good one. All right, this edition of the Locked On Falcons podcast was brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Get in all the action at MyBookie.ag, where they will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Before we wrap this thing up, I want you guys to know that you can stay locked on the NFL draft. Check out hosts John Ledyard and Trevor Sicca. You can find the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on lockedonnfldraft.com and on the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever podcasts can be found. All right, so we're giving away a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. That's a $40 value. You get player grade snap counts, position rankings, fantasy projections, tools and charts, draft coverage, fantasy coverage, all that sort of stuff with that value. And the way that you win that is you go to the Locked On Falcons podcast on iTunes, give a 5-star review, leave your Twitter handle in that review, and you will be randomly entered into a drawing to win a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. One random winner is chosen each week from those that leave reviews. If you do not win, by all means, you can still get the great Pro Football Focus content on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can check out Mike Renner on Locked On NFL every Wednesday with Matt Williamson. You can check out Jeff Ratcliffe every Thursday on Locked On Fantasy with Vinny Iyer. All right, guys, short and sweet. That's the beauty of Charles. He's a busy man. He wants to get in and out. We hit the main things that I wanted to talk about. I'm looking at this team, and I'm on the bandwagon. I'm on the Kubiak bandwagon. You guys, longtime listeners, know I went in on Gary Kubiak last year when the Falcons beat the Broncos, because I thought he did a very poor job preparing his quarterback Paxton Lynch for that game and sort of making in-game adjustments in terms of they didn't decide to start chipping the Falcons pass rushers and Vic Beasley into the fourth quarter of that game when it was very clear from the start that they were clearly overwhelmed. Of course, that was also the game where Gary Kubiak's health issues first came to light, and maybe that affected things. Generally speaking, Gary Kubiak has been a very good coach, as Charles said. The only good year that Joe Flacco has had since that Super Bowl season was when Gary Kubiak was the offensive coordinator in 2014. It is a pretty easy transition from Shanahan to Kubiak's system and whatnot. So not a whole lot you would expect to change. And if anybody's going to sort of be expected to come into Atlanta and hit the ground running, you would expect Kubiak to be that guy. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see if there's a shift. If the Falcons' offense sort of gets back on track again, I think if they can sort of get maybe 3 to 5 more points a game. So if all of a sudden over the last half of the season we're looking at an average point total instead of the 22 or whatever it is that Charles threw out there, it's like 25 or 26 or something like that, then I do think there's a decent chance or better than average chance that Sark will return if there's significant improvement. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of torn on that issue. Like, I don't necessarily feel hopeful that Sark is going to, you know, pick up like Shanahan did in year two, and sort of be demonstrably better next year. But I certainly can't imagine him getting worse. So I can understand the reasoning behind maybe the Falcons continuing to keep him on, just because giving him another offseason to really sort of dig into where his shortcomings and where the team's shortcomings are, similar to what happened with Shanahan after 2015. The issue is going to be, you know, they didn't change the system. They just sort of modified it to better fit their personnel, and they enhanced their personnel. And I don't necessarily see the Falcons doing so much to enhance their personnel. I don't think they really need to enhance their personnel. I think they can really go into next season with the exact same 11 starters or 12 starters, really, and be expected to perform at a much, much higher level than they currently are. So I certainly think, you know, not to say that they should ignore the offense in the offseason, but I certainly would love to see them reinvest in a fullback. I would certainly love to see them upgrade the tight end position. I would certainly love them see them solidify the depth at offensive tackle more so than guard. I think if they do go guard, I think they should do it in free agency, not necessarily draft. I don't see a young guard coming in and sort of hitting the ground running. But maybe, you know, maybe there's a Cody Whitehair, maybe there's another Forrest Lamp this year type of guy, a Dan Feeney type that could be that guy. But, you know, Schweitzer has been up and down, but I think he's shown enough that you can sort of say, yeah, let's keep him around. Let's see what he develops into over the next year, two or so years. I think LaVitre hasn't really shown any sort of sign of slipping. So I think you sort of redo his contract and keep him around at least through 2018, possibly 2019, assuming that he doesn't fall off a cliff next year. And you see what Sean Harlow does next year before you sort of invest again in another young guard. I think you got to get that swing tackle situation fixed, because I think Ty Sambrello is awful. And next year we're playing the NFC East, right? Ryan Kerrigan, JPP, the Eagles defensive line, and in the AFC North, right? So Carlos Dunlap, Miles Garrett, whoever the Ravens got at that point. I have no idea who's rushing the quarterback other than Terrell Suggs. And of course, the incomparable T.J. Watt. I don't think you want Ty Sambrello playing those guys in the event of an injury to either Schrader or Matthews. So I think that's a position that you want, definitely want to upgrade. You don't want to be in the same predicament that Green Bay has found themselves in, thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to be fine at that position. I think Sambrello is probably a better fit at guard anyway, which is one of the reasons why I'm not so keen to invest at that position. But, you know, if they want to go out and sign a guy like a Justin Pugh or somebody like that, a veteran that can come in day one and you know what he is, as opposed to this rookie that's going to take the better part of 2 or 3 years to develop, like we saw with Jake Matthews, like we saw with Ryan Schrader, like we're seeing now with Wes Schweitzer, and we never got to see with Cons and Holmes and whatnot. So I just, that's not necessarily something that I'm keen to do this particular offseason, maybe in 2019, maybe in 2020, after Lavitre hits that wall, or after Schweitzer has proven that he has he's not necessarily the guy definitively, which I don't think we've reached that point yet. But those are my thoughts on sort of the needs on the offense, but I'm sure those are unique thoughts at this point in time, and maybe some of you guys will come around to seeing my great vision for this offense to get better next season. But yeah, I look at it like this, guys. In summary, I look at it like this. I think, you know, this offense seems to be clicking in addition to all the other stuff we talked about with Charles. It seems to click when the play action is rolling, when the running game is rolling, when the play action is rolling. You know, I think if they're going to make it work with Sark, they're just going to have to double down on the run game. And I think that's why positions like fullback and tight end are important, probably more so than the offensive line. I don't think they're, you know, I think the offensive line isn't an issue in terms of enhancing the run game. Certainly, you know, you can always invest in the offensive line, but I think the fullback position has been a problem area. Toy Lowell has been a problem area. Hooper has blocking has been subpar. I talked about that on yesterday's Q&A. So those are the two areas of weakness. I could see you making major upgrades there. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. My hope is one day that the Falcons will be a team that can run the football and play good defense, you know, basically be the Minnesota Vikings. And then on top of that, oh, yes, we do have Julio Jones. We do have Matt Ryan. We do have the great Mohamed Sanu. And that's more the cherry on top as opposed to the body of the sundae that our offense is sort of focused on. But we'll see what happens. Defensively, you know, we'll see what happens. But they got to enhance that pass rush. Starts with the interior, beefing up there. You know, I would be open to a middle linebacker, but I would much rather be a veteran guy than necessarily another rookie, another green, undersized, fast, athletic, but green rookie. Unless you can, you know, unless there's a Miles Jack in next year's draft, but I doubt that's the case. Other than that, you know, I'm good on the defense. Like, I just think you got to invest in the D-line. And, you know, the problem for the Falcons is going to be cap space. And they can free up a lot of cap space next offseason, but it's going to have to require them reworking contracts like Ryan and Matthews and Lavitre. And I think Lavitre is a deal that can get done early, but I don't know about Ryan and Matthews, if those are going to be deals that they can do in March or those are deals that they're going to have to wait till June or July. You know, they got the Trufant deal done in April last year, but that was well after, you know, free agent spending was done, so it didn't really help them out there. So we'll see. You know, everything's not hunky-dory in the state of Atlanta. So state of Georgia, I should say, to be accurate with that quote. Hamlet, Shakespeare, guys. That's it. I'm rambling now, just, you know, padding out this episode. You got to get it to 30 minutes, right? Can't keep it at 22. That's just ridiculous. So how can you, if you guys agree with my thoughts, if you agree with Charles or you disagree with either one of us or have other issues that you want to address, then by all means, let me know, give me that feedback. I am at FileFans on Twitter. And if it's podcast related, just let me know in that tweet. And it's not just sort of a general thought, a general criticism. You know, now that we have 280 characters, you guys can really give me the business on Twitter and whatnot. But if it's podcast related, of course, the easiest way to let me know what you think is by tweeting at the show's Twitter handle. That's Locked On Falcons. Of course, if 280 characters, even the expanded limit, is not your speed or your one of these people that doesn't believe in Twitter, as we had two fans last week that weren't on Twitter, you can also send emails, lockedonfalcons@mail.com at the email address. Locked On Falcons is the Facebook page where there also are no character limits. Falcfans.com is where the show is posted daily. You can leave a comment there, as well as lockedonfalcons.com. I'm hoping that as you guys are listening to this, that That site is up and running with additional content. I do, as I said on yesterday's Q&A episode, I do plan on answering all the leftover questions that I did not get to yesterday on Locked On Falcons each week. You can expect that, you know, Friday or Saturday or so at the end of the week. And we will add additional content. Maybe I'll do additional sort of film breakdowns, maybe, you know, borrow a page from the great DJ Shockley and sort of look at two plays that sort of stood out to me watching the film and take a deeper dive into that. All sorts of things. I hope to extend the olive branch. I don't know. I don't do phrases. Extend my hand to other writers to bring them aboard and have them also contribute content in the back half of the season. So that's something to look forward to. Again, that website is LockedOnFalcons.com. Thanks to our partnership with FanRag here at the Locked On Podcast Network. So that's it, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. We will be hopefully previewing the Cowboys game. The reason why this we're not doing this sort of crossover Thursday like normal is because of the scheduling issues and me trying to get a Cowboys guest that's not booked up this week. And sort of, I think I'm optimistic as of right now that we will do something with a Cowboys guest. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. Right now I'm sort of scrambling because I'm down to, you know, plan C, plan D, because plans A and B and whatnot have been booked up. But we'll see what it works out. Maybe something frees up in the next 24 hours. So that's the plan. We will preview that Cowboys game. It's not going to be fun. I watched the Cowboys-Chiefs game today, and I came away thinking, yeah, the Cowboys are pretty round and about a better team than the Falcons are across the board. So this one, there's a chance it could get ugly if the Cowboys come to play and the Falcons don't. So Falcons do have a shot at winning. I don't want to sit here and write them off. I do think the Cowboys can be beat, as their record indicates, but they are a team that does some things well that the Falcons don't do well. And right now the Falcons don't really do anything well that you can, other than running the football, and that's something the Cowboys aren't great at, but part of that has been due to the absence of Sean Lee. And when he's in the game, they tend to be a much stronger and stouter defense because he is one of the best linebackers to ever take a football field over the last 5 to 7 years. I firmly believe that. And we'll see what happens this weekend. But I'm certainly not optimistic, if you couldn't tell by listening to this podcast the last couple of days or today. So hopefully, please, Falcons, don't make me have to close the door in the season like I did with the Giants loss back in 2014. the 49ers loss in 2015. Or maybe I was about to shut the door after the 49ers loss, but the Colts game when Ryan threw that pick six to Quell Jackson. I was like, oh, that's it. All right, season's over. Let's move on to next year. Yeah, hopefully Zeke doesn't do that to me. Dak doesn't do it to me. But we'll see what happens, guys. Let's see what happens.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.